Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast, presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined on this week's episode by the accountant, Asad.
What to do, man? What to do?
Are you going to give us accounting advice off the bat? Because, you know, people don't like your slander. Some people really find your slander to be unprofessional. So what do you do professionally? You're an accountant, so... Any accounting advice?
Nothing. Just remember, if you have a step lease, to set up the deferral, so that way, you know, you represent, you know, the effective rent over time and your expenses, because it's not uneven. Any rent-free periods you want to record as well. So just something to be wary of.
I got to say that the two major professions that listen to this podcast, as I've been informed, are accountants and lawyers, so I'm sure they were dying, dying at your little rents joke.
Oh, well, if you want me to get into the new whip rules for professionals.
Okay.
I'm bringing whip into tax over 5 years on a deferred basis. I'm not getting into that.
No, let's not get into that. Let's talk Raptors. So we're recording this after the Raptors smacked up the Pistons. I gotta say, man, honestly, this game should have been closer, but the Pistons are so bricks from three. Like, it was bad watching it live.
Yo, they're a goddamn pickup team. Like, there's nothing to say about it.
Six.
They don't play defense.
Of 35.
Yo, they're legitimately, like, they're basically the Cavs, where, like, Blake Griffin is, like, you've got this
they're
quality
basically
player.
The Cavs.
Like, yo, Blake Griffin, like, legitimately is still a good player, even though he can't shoot, even though he can't really do much. Like, he still can do good things on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And he's just, like, you look around the floor and you've got Andre Drummond, where, like, in okay, first of all, the first play of the game, they don't know that who's guarding OG Anunoby. The first play of the game?
How do you lose someone in transition the first play of the game? Never seen someone like that before.
And then,
never
like,
have.
The third play of the game, they come down, and literally all Siakam does is get a screen from Marc Gasol. Not even a hard screen. He was literally, it was just like a basic action to get the stuff spaced out at the beginning. They call a switch. They're sitting on the switch, and Andre Drummond just lets Siakam walk right by him for an open dunk. I'm like, how is this a team? Yo, what are they doing?
It's not a serious club, man. They couldn't win without Christian Wood.
Bruh,
you know,
he's their second best player.
He was actually really good in this, like, 3 minutes before he got hurt. Hopefully Christian Wood is okay. Yeah, I mean, oh, man, the Pistons. You know what? Honestly, we're kind of at a point in the season where we kind of know where the Raptors are. Like, if they're playing below a 500 team, no matter who's in the lineup, no matter what the circumstances are, on the road, at home, wherever, like, they're just going to win. And
it's a professionalism win, right? Like, the Raptors are a professional team, so they're going to win against these, like, complete jokes of franchise. Like, you got dudes, like, these aren't dudes who play basketball seriously. Like, I don't care if they're in the NBA. Like, yo,
Tony Stell.
There is zero, like, what do you call, not job satisfaction. What's the call? What's the word that I'm looking for? Like, pride. There's zero pride.
Oh, pride. Wow.
Professional pride. Like, they just come out there just to get their stats and go home. In Tony Snell's case, it's like 0-0-0-0 in 28 minutes. Like, yo, what are we doing here?
Man, I had to look it up, but apparently Luke Kennard averages 16 points a game. Like, 16 NBA points per game.
NBA is so sad. If you're on a shit team, you can average 16
points. How is that possible?
Man, there's like 15 guys on the Knicks that average 15 points a game. They lose by 30.
I think he might have, like, with the Raptors play the Pistons twice now, I think he might have like 8 points against the Raptors in two games. And the Raptors are playing like their worst defender on him. Worst is relative, obviously. But, man.
it's really sad. I think that's one of the bigger issues right now in the NBA is that they've made it either like a tank or it's like the teams that are tanking are the gap. There's no middle class in the NBA. That's the issue.
Like the Raptors are closer to the middle class than anything else, and they got a 65 win percentage.
There are 11 teams that have like 60% better win percentage. 11 teams that are winning over 60% of the games. Like I think 9 or 10 of them are winning like 70% of the games.
Yeah,
and then the bottom like 10 teams are losing 70% of their games.
There's like multiple teams in the NBA that are 6-21.
Bro, both conferences, 7 and 8 seeds are like multiple games under 500.
Yep.
That's how bad, like, it's just like the top 10 teams just need to be in a different league. Like, you need to, like, they need to, honestly, like, one of the takes I had, like, a couple weeks ago was just like the NBA, like, 30 teams is great, whatever, keep the same number of teams, but you got to relegate.
Oh, man.
Split it into two leagues. Screw it.
That's how we're going to keep Masai away from the Knicks is relegation happens and the Knicks are the first to go.
Yo, the Knicks can't beat a G League team right now.
The Knicks are a G League team right now, man.
Garbage.
You're telling me Justin Anderson can't get over here and bonk Marcus Morris on the head?
Oh, I wouldn't. Yo, don't even diss Marcus Morris because like Marcus Morris is legitimately like the one NBA level quality guy on their team.
Yo, RJ is doing some things. Come on, man.
He's a rookie though. Like, yo, poor RJ, man. Also,
yeah, seriously.
Shout out to RJ because like he's not going to break the Knicks curse. You know the Knicks haven't signed a rookie to a contract after their original 4 years since like I think it's some stupid like 2001. It was like Charlie Ward or some stupid like random person.
Did they sign Iman Shumpert or was that the Cavs?
Cavs. They traded him.
Oh,
they
shit.
Traded him.
Yeah, that's right.
They have not signed
Landry Fields
any
was
of
gone.
Their rookies to a second contract in like 20 years or something ridiculous like that.
And they trade all their picks too. Wow.
It's an inept franchise. I don't want to talk about the Knicks. I hate the Knicks.
Yeah.
You can get me on record. I hate the Knicks.
Wow. Sounding like Masai over here.
Bruh.
I mean, yo, honestly, the league is just imbalanced or whatever. But, you know, hey, look, listen, I don't mind seeing the Raptors win. You know, I'm not that spoiled at this point. I'd still enjoy seeing the Raptors beat up on the Pistons. I thought, Pascal had a nice game. Kyle had a nice game. Kyle and Serge got into rhythm. Let's start with the positives because we'll talk about the negatives from that game because, you know, two key pieces go down. But, Colin Serge finding the rhythm. What do you think it was with him? Was it just injury?
I think it was resurgence. Anything else? I think it was just ankle. Like I think in the first game or two, you saw with him, like he just wasn't like you saw his feet were a little sticky. Like when he'd pop, like he was just not getting the extra half step on that like short roll. He was like when he would catch and he would like jump up for the jumper, you could see his feet weren't set correctly or whatever, and he just lacked a little bit of bounce. You could see his foot would get down, like his. Like his speed, like foot tap speed, like where you tap your foot on the ground and go, it was just slow. So, you know, and he said his ankle's getting better and you've seen it like results wise, like that little over the shoulder hook shot that he had, he was leaving it short. Now it's money again. It also helps that he's playing crap teams. That's a great way to get rhythm back. But
hey, it is what it is, you know?
Honestly, like tonight it was like, I basically said in the first quarter, I'm like, Serge, I tweeted out, I'm like, yo, Serge should score 30 tonight because Andre Drummond does not know how to guard a pick and roll. He doesn't know how to guard.
He
doesn't. Like
He doesn't play defense. The only play he had was Pascal tried to dunk on him with two hands. And he's like, all right, I better jump for it.
He stopped two dunks by fouling people that went uncalled. It's just nuts.
Yeah, bro, that foul on Terrence Davis got me hot, man. Because you can't be killing Terrence Davis on every little tic-tac foul. And then not call him getting smacked across the arm.
My favorite thing was before the smack across the arm is that he was also pushing him with his other arm.
He could have just got back on defense. You know, he's like, pretty fast for a big guy, but he just doesn't try.
Like, how are you that in shape and also that out of shape? How is his motor worse than mine? Like, yo, Marc Gasol is beating you down the court. Do you have no shame?
No, seriously, man. No, he's really just Hassan Whiteside with iCarly.
Whew.
Yeah, and you know it's cool. The numbers are huge, and he's gonna get a big contract out of it. But like, man.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte's going to love to pay him, man. I can't wait till him and Devontae Graham are running a pick and roll.
Oh, you tell, you know, Charlotte would love to get him, man. That Drummond Biombo combo at center.
Honestly,
they're
going to
dominate rebounds.
I think that's the one thing they have to kick out of the All-Star game is voting in guys like Andre Drummond, voting in guys
If it's not Drummond, what kind of bigs do you want, man?
Young. I legitimately like Trae Young, but your team is getting smacked by like 20 points. They gave up 143 points to the Knicks. I don't care if you had 40 points in that game, man. Like, those aren't meaningful points.
No, not at all.
Bro, you're just
But it's fun. It's fun watching them.
And the efficiency numbers aren't exactly there either. So I'm just like, yo, why are we like gratifying this?
I mean, you know, some people think you got to give them a reason to tune in. All the bad teams play 82 games too, and they got to sell
tickets. Like, Andre Drummond's going to be like a four-time All-Star now this year, a five-time All-Star or something?
That's kind of disgusting, really.
Disgusting.
Kyle's a five-time All-Star. Like, come on, man. That's not fair. That's not equal, you know what I mean? Yeah, but, you know, I think you're right, man. I think especially with Serge, he's such a rhythm guy too. And if your foot's not entirely healthy, and he's talked about it, like, you know, it's just not always going to be there for you. The Raptors are also playing like very aggressive defense. Everyone was like rotating out the perimeter and doubling. It's a lot of movement. And again, if you got bad wheels, then I don't really
and
know
the ankle
doing there.
And the ankle injury is like one that's so common in basketball. Like, you know, like like you can start playing on it like after a week or two, but you're not going to get your rhythm back until like a month after or 2 months after potentially. Like we saw last 2 or 3 years with JV, he'd get off to a hot start, he'd have an ankle injury, he'd be back a couple weeks later, but it would take like a month and a half before you'd see him clicking again.
Yeah.
Pick and roll. Same thing.
And in the meantime, everyone's slandering him about his defense.
Which, hey, that's fair. then you got Fred at the beginning of this season. He just starts off fire, turns his ankle off on a cameraman, and was like for like 6 to 7 games, he just didn't have any rhythm.
Efficiency was low.
Was low, and then, you know, that the ankle strengthens up again. You can start doing things a little bit better, and boom, you're back.
Yeah.
So the ankle injuries, I'm always like, yo, you just, like, once a guy goes down with an ankle, it's like, all right, you just got to live with it. As long as the shots are coming, like, in good process, like, usually against bad teams, the biggest thing to see is their good process, and as long as it's good process, who really cares? Mm-hmm. So I was always bullish on Kyle and Serge. I was like, yo, it's good process. It's just like, it's lack of fitness right now.
Yeah, for sure. And Kyle, I mean, I don't know, man. Honestly, Kyle plays banged up so much that it's hard to tell when he's fully fit. But like, I'm not worried about Kyle, really. He's been really good sometimes. And some games he's been like misfiring and a little bit out of control. But I think in the last couple games, especially when Pascal can just be the number one guy, Kyle can really just settle into that playmaker role that he got so comfortable in last 2 years, really.
Which is his best role, like, really.
That's
like
his best role, yeah. But you need someone to be the number one guy. Because there's games like that Philly game, Pascal didn't really want it. He just wasn't impacting the game the way you would expect the number one guy to be.
Yep.
And then Kyle's like, all right, I got to step up and I got to do Kyle ball. And it's like, yeah, Kyle ball works, but not against like the best teams in the NBA. So.
And the thing is,
this is a healthier balance.
Like Kyle, again, like if his shot's not working, he's still going to be a plus player on the floor, and that's really all you care about, right? Like you're going to get defense out of him, you're going to get great floor game out of him, and teams always have to guard him because he makes him guard him. Even if you're leaving him for the shot, he keeps forcing the drives, and he keeps probing, so he keeps being a threat on the floor. Which is always great. Like, that's, you need to have a guy with a floor game. And then the games where his shot is working, then you have that game, like that first game against Milwaukee, he went freaking nuts. He almost got us back into winning percentage of that game if anybody could hit a shot, right? Same with, I think, the game against Boston where everybody was cold and it was just him and Pascal going off. That's basically what you should get from Kyle. Like, Kyle's barometer, like Kyle's floor is always going to be a positive player. So that's all you really need to expect from him is like, all right, bring that for 35 minutes, and then everybody else around him has to be the efficiency markers, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, Mark and Norm Powell have gone down. This Piston game was – honestly, it was a real sloppy game. Like, Derrick Rose hit his head hard twice. Christian Wood got hurt. There were 4 technicals. And then, of course, Marc Gasol. I mean, the Gasol thing is just like – he just looked kind of old. You know, that's a washed injury if I've ever seen one.
Honestly,
you're just,
I personally,
and then you pulled your hamstring.
I blame the Detroit arena because, like you could just tell from the broadcast that the arena was cold. There were not enough bodies in there. They didn't sell enough tickets to turn up the heat. It was clearly cold. Dudes were not warmed up. Like, even the Raptors social media team was just taking pictures and posting them. They weren't even looking for good photos because it was too cold to keep their hands out of their mittens.
Sure, yeah.
Legit. And, like yo,
there's only, 2,000 people in that arena.
That's how you pull a hamstring. And you can tell because the refs did not want any part of this game. They wanted to show up, cash a check, and go home because they were not calling fouls for the first, half of the game.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I'm pretty sure someone just got smacked across the head on both teams in consecutive plays and not a single whistle.
Blake Griffin went down a couple of times, and I'm like, dude, this is a star player in his home building. Like, he's not getting a call. Like, all right. But then sometimes they will call, ticky-tack shit. Like, for, four straight possessions, they're like, oh, that's a cold, that's a grab. I was like, that's just basketball, man. Like, you could call that every play.
But they clearly wanted to get out of that game as fast as possible because any argument, they just teed it up. They're like, yo, tee it up. I don't want to hear any talk.
Yeah.
I don't want to delay this game too much more, so we're just going to tee it up real quick and keep going. Which is, I think, what you end up having. You get these crappy injuries come out of one of these type of games where it's like nobody's taking it seriously. And this is why I think, this is the thing. This is what happens when you play unprofessional teams. Like, the game gets sloppy. Yeah. Nobody really is focusing every possession or dialed in every possession because it only takes, three possessions to build up a lead.
Yep.
Because you're getting layups. And guys get hurt, and it's unfortunate. And on the Raptors' case, they probably should have put this game away a lot earlier and had their bench guys playing the entire game.
Yeah,
but
that's true. The offense went kind of cold for a while.
Yeah.
Raps only had, 16 points, I think, in the fourth quarter or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, the Mark thing, whatever, man. It's just an old man running in transition again, and I want a 3-fast break, and he pulled a hamstring.
He pulled a hamstring jogging, man. He wasn't running. running.
That's true. Hopefully he's okay. But, you know, he's played a ton of basketball recently in the last year or so, 2 championships, obviously. So, you know, if Mark misses some time, honestly, it wouldn't be too surprising. Hopefully it doesn't, though, because he's been, just really important to the team.
And he's had a great December. I think, his December has been shooting, this was coming into
he's
this
scoring game, in the post again.
Coming
man.
Into this game, he was six of his last 7 games, he was shooting over 50% inside the arc.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And I think his December stats, he was shooting 48% from the field, 40% from 3. Which, hey, that's normal Marc Gasol stats, right? Or actually better than normal Marc Gasol stats. So he really did seem he was finally rounded into shape and
rounded.
Rhythm. He was getting up the floor in time to actually be part of the play, which is nice.
It's like he swallowed a wheel and became a wheel Kirby. As opposed to just a regular Kirby walking up and down the floor. Norm Powell, he also got hurt late in the game. Blake Griffin set a screen. I thought it was a legal screen. Yeah, it's just a tough play. Norm runs right into him. And he's had an injury to his left shoulder before. Apparently left the game in a sling. That one really sucks. I just feel from a personal level.
That one sucks. I think there have been a couple people who have called for that type of action to be the league to crack down on it. Because it's basically the offensive player is basically wedging you into that screen. And you're seeing all these wing guys get crushed on that. And that's you've seen cases where a lot of people get hurt on that. Not even hurt. There's a lot of concussions that happen in those situations just because you have a lot of head-to-head contact too. It's a really dangerous play. And with the amount of screens that are set on the wings now, you just have these massive bodies just crushing these guards, right?
That's true.
But that was
At the same time, though, it was still a legal play. It's a legal play, yeah.
And it's just ouch. That, yeesh.
That thing looked terrible, man. Norm immediately holding the shoulder. Hopefully it's not too bad, but I'm also kind of bracing for the worst here. It just sucks with the timing, man. Norm Powell has been balling of late. Tweeted out those stats. The last 9 games, what was Norm doing?
He was putting up 20 points on 58% shooting, 47-3. Mm-hmm. And he was giving you 2 steals a game too, which is nuts.
He's been low-key disruptive, man.
And it's all right.
He's been this is the best defensive year of his career, too.
And he's shooting – this season, the biggest adjustment was he's just finishing at, an elite level.
Above 70%.
The biggest thing to note is, anytime he catches the ball in the dunker spot, it's just one-hand dunk. Like, anytime he goes down the baseline, he's been one-hand dunking that straight up. Yeah. Like, no reverse layup, no none of that nonsense, just straight dunking. And that's probably the only thing I'm worried about with the shoulder injury, is that he'll get a little bit flakier on the finishes. Because it's his left shoulder, so it shouldn't, like, shot-wise, it probably shouldn't affect too much. But my worry would be if he has some time off and he comes back and the shoulder feels weak, that that finishing might be a little weaker. But he's done a really good job being, like, a direct line attacker. And just like his decision making on choosing when to attack has been a lot better in just like catch and go situations. So,
yeah,
sucks. And it sucks.
It really sucks, man. And he's found a really nice rhythm with the starting lineup. So nice to the point where Nick was even talking seriously and in depth about how he's going to change the starting lineup. You know what I mean? Like, the idea was once Fred came back, all of a sudden you had three guards in two spots between Kyle, Norm, and Fred. And, you know, Fred, sounds like Fred's going to come back. I mean, Fred was playing like Kings Court, you know, one-on-one, stuff like that, in practice, playing pretty hard. They played for like an hour. So I'm like, all right, so he's probably good. They didn't bring him to Detroit, thank God. Definitely don't want him coming back in a game like this. You know, who knows what would happen out there. You know, it's way better to bring him back in a game against the Wizards, who played literally zero defense. The Wizards are a hilarious team. They have actually played no defense whatsoever this year. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it was a concern. And honestly, I didn't think it was that much of a question, because I know how much Nurse admires Fred, and I know how much Kyle Lowry could be a pain in the ass. And also, Kyle shouldn't come off the bench, man. Like, Kyle's too good to come off the bench. Let's be real. We just saw it tonight. Yeah, the man had a triple-double.
But, I think it's just stupid conversation. Like, like this idea that Norm.
I didn't think Norm was actually going to be in the starting lineup, period. So I couldn't believe Nick actually entertained it for that much.
Like, my thing is, like, people are like, oh, clearly Norm plays better with the starters. And yeah, like, there's historical context to it. But, like, just looking at this season, I don't think you can, like, look at the sample from this season and say, oh, he's just better as a starter. Because, like, his starts have come because of dudes being injured. And, like, his, like, a lot of the bench times he came off the bench were games that were either very early in the season when they didn't have really understood how they're going to play with the bench, or had figured out what their system was going to be. And then, you know, like, he has a couple spot games coming off the bench. He just has some bad shooting games every so and so. Like, a lot of his bad games just, oh, he had a bad shooting game.
Today was a bad shooting game. Like, he didn't really play well with the starters today.
And I don't personally believe, I honestly just can't buy it. Just the way he plays, I don't buy that he would be any worse with a bench unit versus a starting unit if you have both Kyle and Fred back. Because do you think it's like a ball movement kind of thing? It might be a ball movement thing, but if you actually have a fully healthy team and you have Kyle and Fred available, he's always going to be on the court with a point guard.
That's true.
Right? And like, you're talking about mixed lineups, like, you're always going to have potentially like Marcus Hall out there playing, I think, mixed units with the bench. You're going to have Kyle Lowry playing in mixed units with the bench. And Norm's role, like, one of the biggest things that we saw in the last couple of months was after he got called out, he just became much more direct with attacking and much more fearless with his shot.
Yeah.
Which is that I don't think that has anything to do with him starting or coming off the bench. I just don't buy it.
Yeah.
Like, from a player quality standpoint, whether you want to balance the roster better, I don't think it matters. Your closing unit is still going to probably have Fred VanVleet in it.
Yeah.
And depending on who's hot, you either have Norm or you have OG, right? Depending on what you need. It's a non-problem to me. And I don't think, like, people saying bench Kyle, that's the dumbest thing I've heard. Bench Kyle for Fred?
We're not benching Kyle, man.
Why? Why would you not play? Like, you want to play your five best players as many minutes as you can. Kyle Lowry is, like, a top three player on this team at the worst.
And even though Norm is playing really well and he's hot right now, like, objectively speaking, Fred is just a better player than Norm.
Yeah, and, like
I don't even think that's a question. He's better on both ends of the floor.
You want your
best Norm just scores.
And your best players on the court. Like, Norm gives you one added benefit of just giving you someone who can attack the rim, but Fred's a better shooter than him, a better decision maker than him. And, like, people are like, oh, well, Fred and Kyle haven't played that well together this season. Well, first of all, they've barely been healthy. And, like, historically, they've always played well together.
Yeah. Like, we got a sample size going back last year. Bro, yeah. they beat the fucking Warriors with that lineup, man. Like, I get it. Whatever. They had Quinn Cook out there. You know what I mean? Like, it's different. But still, it's
there's the 20 Warriors, teams man. In the league that start Quinn Cook. So,
yeah, essentially. You're telling me Jeff Teague isn't just Quinn Cook?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was a non-issue altogether, to be honest. I also looked at it from the perspective of, like, not that this is how you should manage your team, because you should manage your team to win, whatever. But there is a consideration of the fact that Norm is under contract multiple years. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be here in Toronto, or the Raptors are going to trade him. That's it. Those are the only two possibilities. Whereas Kyle is like a franchise icon, like literally the most important Raptor of all time in terms of how much he contributed to wins. And then Fred is an impending free agent. And I'm not saying that Fred is so sensitive that if you bench him, then he's going to start pouting and never resign or something like that. He's not like that. He's obviously a man of high character. But at the same time, if you were just looking at it from like a HR perspective, I'd probably look to keep Kyle and Fred happier than I would with Norm, because there's more incentive. Norm is under contract. There's nothing he's going to do.
It's not even that. They're both better players than Norm.
And they're both better.
Like, I don't understand.
But you know what? People get really hung up on this thing about, like, oh, you can't have 2 6-foot guys out there. Norm is 6'4". It's better defensively. And I don't get it, man. Have you watched Fred? That's what I'm saying. Have you watched Fred play defense?
You have one of the most elite like point guard defenders, like plain and simple, just defenders on the court. Like,
when you have
Fred and Kyle on the court, like, sure, you're short. You might have some, and they're not even bad rebounders. Norm is worse rebounder than both of them.
Norm is the classic 24-1-3 guy.
Yeah. Like, it feels very, like, I know anecdotally you'd be like, oh, yeah, 6'4 guy, he's bigger. And he does more athletic things, but, like, I think when you actually look at it, like, Fred and Kyle are just play a better game than Norm does. So I don't think it's a ridiculous.
And also the mixed lineups thing, man. Like, Norm's going to play plenty of minutes as the two guard. Even if he came out the bench, he was still going to play 30.
Also, like, why would you maximize Norm over maximizing Kyle or Fred? Don't you want your best players to be maximized first and then your role players?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's sort of a issue down the line anyway, because Powell is now out. And again, it just really sucks, man.
We're not going to have a healthy team until after the trade deadline anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It's just like last year, and then they'll win the title again.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Speaking of winning the title, the Raptors. So, okay, a lot of these games people I've already seen. Like, whatever, we know they're going to beat under 500 teams. The issue right now is their performance against over 500 teams. And you look at it, they have a great win against the Lakers. As one of four teams to beat the Lakers this year. They had a great win against the Sixers. Of course, they lost to the Sixers later, but still, they had a great win against the Sixers. And they beat Utah, and they beat Brooklyn. But other than that, they have 8 losses. All 8 of their losses this year have come against top 8 or pretty much top 10 teams in the NBA. And it is a little bit concerning. So I'll just ask you.
The ones that are more concerning to me are the ones where it's like, again, it comes down to process, right? Like if you're talking about the game against Miami, they could not hit a shot. They got a lot of good shots, and they could not hit one. So that one I'm not.
But they also
kind of
played like ass in that game.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. They kind of played
like garbage. That's fair. But, like, they also missed a ton of shots. And I'm like, all right, I can live with that loss, right? And they went to overtime. So I'm not going to complain about that. Like, when you're playing a top team, you expect it to be a close game. It's going to be competitive. Mm-hmm. If you're expecting the Raptors, like, oh, they're not a good team unless they're blowing out all the top teams in the league, it's just not going to
happen. Nobody blows out all the top teams in the league, man.
Literally,
it's not the Shaq and Kobe Lakers.
There's not a single team in the league that's blowing out the top team in the league. Even the Bucks have trouble against the top teams in the league, and they are the top team in the league.
The Lakers squeak by, like, by 5 points against teams like the Hawks.
And it's like, so that's why I'm like, I don't terribly care that much. I look kind of at the process. The one thing that's obvious, the Raptors, since they don't have like that A-plus guy, like they don't have that apex superstar, they need to be healthy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not, like, they're going to beat these teams with depth of quality, right? Like, they have 7 dudes who can be starters on championship teams.
Yeah.
Right? But they need all 7 of those guys if they're going to beat these teams.
Yeah,
like,
and they need
missing
all, like,
pieces,
rolling too.
Then it becomes difficult because you're just not going to have the floor game to win.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you look at the case by case, there is a thing. I don't want to make excuses for the team necessarily. But that Milwaukee game, I consider that a legitimate loss. Whatever.
Yeah, honestly, Milwaukee's better team than them that night. Straight up.
They are, yeah. Yeah, and they were on the road and stuff like that. It's a tough situation. But you look at some of the Miami game, Kyle comes back. He's clearly, like, bro, like, the guy shot, like, 2 of 18 from the field. You can't tell me that was
a representative.
That's a game where you, yeah, it's not a representative sample.
And even if it's not representative, it went to overtime, so who cares?
Yeah.
Like, that's a fair loss. Like, you just take that. That's a coin flip loss. Whatever.
The Dallas and Clipper games on the road, they were freaking exhausted. Like, they just, they ran out of gas completely. They actually competed real good in that Clipper game for three quarters, and then they lost it. And then the Mavs game, kind of the same deal. They just had nobody that had any gas. Very shorthand in those games. The Houston game, they played more of a janky defense in that Houston game than they played in the NBA Finals. Let's be real. Steph Curry was crying about the box and one, but really, like they trapped James Harden at half court with two defenders every play.
That was one of those games where like it's a legitimate loss because they just straight up got outclassed. But also, it was like Nick Nurse was just trying crap out.
That was an experimentation game.
That was an experiment game. It's like, okay, I mean, you take the loss. I honestly, even last year's team, I would have thought would have had trouble against Houston in a 7-game series.
They did. They lost twice against
Houston. Just has the way that Houston plays is built to beat the Raptors. Like the way that we play the Raptors play defense, because the Raptors are help heavy and they zone up a lot. So you're just going to get burned by single pass shots a lot of the time.
Yeah, and then you look at it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And then, if you go to man-to-man, then they have the best one-on-one guy in the game. So it's difficult.
it is difficult. The Celtics game, honestly, I thought that was a legitimate loss to me. That's like, they had the team healthy. And
it's also on the road.
Fred was out for that one.
Oh, yeah.
He had the ankle
thing,
right?
That was the ankle thing, yeah. Fred was out. It was on the road. It was a close game. I don't really care.
It was a real close game.
So you live with it. Now, I'd have more concern if we're, like, these next two games against the Celtics. If we get completely dominated,
I don't know. Are we gonna have Mark? I mean, like even Norm. Like, are we gonna have Norm? Like, you know, you never know.
I want to see what the records over teams versus 500 really means. Because the thing is, there's only 10 of them, and they're so far over 500, where like losing to any of them is not like a giant X on your chest.
No, especially if it's on the road or with difficult circumstances,
right? And the thing is, it's like there are just so few representative games left in the regular season that are really going to matter playoff-wise. I think all it really comes down to is let's just see how the guys are performing. The one thing that does concern me is Pascal against winning teams has just not had a good game. The only legitimately good game he's had against a winning team was the first Boston game where he went off from three.
Oh, no, the Sixer game.
No, he didn't. He didn't have a terribly great game that game.
What?
Like, he had the 25 dunk points? To finish it. He had
that and one over Al Horford.
He struggled most of that game. Like, I'm not going to say he didn't struggle that game. I think he shot under 50% that game as well.
I mean, he shoots under 50% a lot.
Yeah, it's like it's night and day. It's like against 20 teams in the league, he shoots like 55 to 60%. And then against the top 10, he shoots 40.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the concern. That's a concern.
And that's where the concerns come in, right? So that's really all it is. I think defensively, I've never been less concerned about a Raptor team.
Yeah, they know what to do.
Yeah, so
especially if they're not screwing around, they know what to do.
So I'm not too worried about concern. Honestly, I just think the playoffs are going to be ridiculously fun this year, and I think we're at a point in the league where it's so even in terms of like there just isn't enough difference between teams where one team losing to another in a 7-game series is just like, oh, they're garbage.
Yeah,
right. That's unless true. The Raptors win, in which case I will be here to say that every single one of those teams is complete garbage.
Buddy, listen, slander pod's going to happen. last thing before we go to break and then take some Twitter questions. So one of my concerns is, if we're going to be honest about the whole thing, one of the reasons why we're losing against these above 500 teams, you know, even putting aside all the factors, that extenuating factors, is that you don't have like that Kawhi level superstar who can sort of just change the momentum of a game. Not even a Kawhi level superstar, but even the way Jimmy Butler changed the momentum of that Heat game.
Yep.
Right? You don't have that. Pascal's not on that level yet. But can Pascal get to that level this year? Is that realistic in your mind? And if so, what does he need to kind of do? What else does he need to add to the game? Because right now, he's taken a leap. He's expanded his production, but it doesn't always necessarily translate against the best teams.
Yeah, I want to see how he comes out after the All-Star break, because that's usually when like the game start mattering a little bit less, so you can start working on your game and kind of start reading things, and you understand how teams have scouted you. Mm. Like the big thing that he doesn't do, he doesn't draw fouls. Like straight up, like
it's real concerning.
Like for the amount like zero that he drives, he just doesn't draw fouls, and a lot of that is on him. Like he doesn't position himself right, and he's not finishing well because of it too. Because he's taking contact at the wrong time, because he's not setting it up correctly, and he's screwing up his finishing. Like the amount, like there have been like last season, we remember, like there was at least one or two and ones a game that Pascal.
Oh yeah,
and then he just missed the free throw. But this season, it's like you don't even get an and one. Like he'll just get fouled. And it's like, man, why are you bricking these same layups? Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's kind of positioning because he's attacking from a face up rather than off of a cut or whatever it might be.
Yeah. He's also attacking from farther out too.
Yeah.
The Raptors in last year would not feature Pascal in the same way they do right now.
And I do think he takes a lot of – right now he's taking a lot of test shots where it's like he gets the big on the switch and he's like, I could drive past this guy. But he's like, no, let me try this jumper that I have.
Let me just pretend he's Joel Embiid in the Sixers series.
He's taking a lot of – like he's doing a lot. He did it today. He got Drummond on a switch late in the – like in the fourth quarter. And it was like the time the Raptors are slowing down a little bit. And he just settled for a jumper when I thought he could easily have attacked because he had like 16 seconds on the shot clock, 14 seconds on the shot clock.
Yeah.
And it was – those are straight up the jumpers where he's just trying it out, where he's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I find that's a little weird with him is his shot consistency is really – It confuses
it's
me.
It's strange.
Where he'll be hitting threes but missing mid ranges by a lot, or he'll be like nailing like fadeaways and not be able to like the variance in his misses and his makes, like in how they look.
I mean, the shot is still a little strange though. Like even when you watch it in practice and stuff, like it's not he's not money in a way where like I got to watch a lot of Kawhi warming up, for example. Like that guy's money, like automatic. Like he's gonna make that jumper every single time. Contested, doesn't really matter. Everything's consistent. The footwork, the way he's going up and down, everything's steady. With Pascal, there's kind of a lot of moving parts. You know, like that footwork's a little weird. Like that guy B.A. on YouTube, the shot impersonator. He did a Pascal episode, and he really highlighted the fact that Pascal basically does the stanky leg when he shoots the jumper, which I think is hilarious. But it's true. And I think, honestly, the inconsistent footwork and the way he's launching the shot is not always the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
And I do think the one positive that we've seen the last few games is his catch and shoot from all over the floor is money.
That's money, no.
His catch and shoot, whether it's from the top of the key or the corners, is money. So whenever he needs to get going, like today we saw it, he wasn't hitting anything for like a while in that third quarter. And then Kyle got him set up in the corner, would run a high pick and roll with Serge. Help defender would come over. Serge throws the
Serge
pass.
Serge makes the extra pass.
Yeah, and Serge is hitting that pass. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And he's hitting that shot. And I think he had one catch and shoot where he was literally coming off of a curl, basically. And as soon as he caught it, he just went up. It was at the wing.
That was against Kevin Love.
Yeah. And
then
like,
Kevin Love yelled at his teammates and balled his fists and walked up the floor. Yo, shout out Kevin Love, man.
Honestly, him and Blake Griffin having like basically the same careers is.
Oh man, remember all those debates?
Remember
who's the best power forward? LaMarcus Aldridge, Kevin Love, or
the lockout when they started doing YouTube videos together? They had a Jenga commercial.
No, I don't remember that.
Bro, it was like
that was a weird year. NBA players had too much time on their hands.
You gotta Google it because it's hilarious. Basically, they went into an empty court and they were playing Jenga. And the Jenga tower was set up like a mid quarter at the free throw line. It's like Blake Griffin like dunking a Jenga piece onto the top, and like Kevin Love taking like a bank shot off the backboard onto the Jenga tower. And I'm like, this is really weird because like Blake Griffin does highlights and Kevin Love does bank shots.
I mean, now they both do bank shots.
Yo, shout out! I want to say I don't want to slander too much because Blake Griffin had one of the nicest passes I saw in today's game. It was like early in the first half.
Yeah.
Caught it like elbow extended on the left side and he you know gets into the triple threat or whatever, has the ball over his head, one hand no look pass to the opposite wing because Norm was looking the wrong direction to Luke Kennard for a three.
I screen grabbed that.
Yep.
It was a very nice pass, but also Norm completely looking like 180 degrees the wrong way while Kennard has the ball in his hands is hilarious.
My favorite part is he's not even looking at the ball. So he's not even ball watching. He's just not. He's looking at the opposite rim.
He's just not cognizant, man. His mind's wandering. Like, damn, that was me in Chinese school. I was like, I don't care about any of this. Anyway, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will take some of your Twitter questions. Welcome back to the second half of the Raptors Over Everything podcast, presented by KFC, still here with Asad. We are going to take Twitter questions. But first, Asad, you and I, along with our boy Sahal and Dhruv, who we have not mentioned on the podcast before, we're going to play on the Raptors Republic 3-on-3 tournament, January 19th. Are you ready, man? How are you feeling about the tournament? Because last year, you and Dhruv kind of carried us. I'm not gonna lie.
I'll be honest. I'm like 15 pounds heavier than I was last year, so right. It's gonna be a little messy. We'll see how it goes. I don't really mind. I've kind of settled into like what I can do on the floor. I think in a 4-on-4 tournament, it's 3-on-3, right? 3-on-3.
Yeah, 3-on-3.
3-on-3 tournament's okay as long as like you get floor balance. So as long as they're not trapping you too hard, as long as Woodley doesn't, you know, take out my knee and like ankle in the first play.
Wow, expose him. Sean Woodley. Matthew Dellavedova.
Him and Serge just pinned me on a drive.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dirty play. We lost that game by one. Anyways, no, I expect we're going to win our blogger bracket easily this season.
I was going to say, man, you, I see the stat lines. I'm a little concerned. I'm not going to lie. I do scout you personally.
Yeah.
You know, I do see the stat lines, but I have to remember that it's one thing to go like 1-of-7 against, you know, good players in Milton, and it's another thing to go, you know, like, I mean, honestly, I expect you to hit every jumper over Blake Murphy.
It's more just like, yo, full court 5-on-5, having to play point guard and being trapped at half court consistently the entire game. A lot harder. That's tough. Like, even like my three ball catch and shoot, I'm good. Right now, off the dribble's a little weak, I'll be honest. I'm not getting from the 3-point line to the rim very easy right now, but we'll see how it goes. I don't expect to be in trouble. The thing is, the extra weight's great because if I catch you in the post, it's a bucket automatic.
Oh, buddy, I've looked forward to you and Blake going at it once again. It's a damn shame what's going to happen to Blake Murphy.
Oh yeah,
it's a damn shame. And then, you know, Dhruv, 3-point shooter,
that young Steph, man, Brown Steph Curry. Steph, real Curry, bro. Wow. He's come out. That's great, man. Just shoot from 40 and see how it goes.
Yeah. He had games where he gave us like 13 points, and you know the final score was like 19.
Like, I'm not lying. Like, Dhruv is like a legitimate stereotypical Brown man. Like, he works for Oracle, I'm pretty sure. He does NetSuite stuff. He does NetSuite implementations by day and shoots 40-foot threes by night.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't underestimate the chubby little 5'6" dude. Okay, he may waddle. Yeah, he may waddle like a penguin.
He's taller than 5'6", man. He's like, give him like 5'8". Allow the man. He's like 5'8". Don't undersell him. But plus shoes, like 5'9". You know,
plus shoes. He's a Fred VanVleet 6 feet tall.
Bro, did he smoke before or after the tournament last year?
Both.
That's great. And then Sahal. I don't know how Sahal plays, but I'm not gonna stereotype, so I'm gonna sidestep that one.
Nah, all right, we're taking questions. We've seen Sahal in person, okay? Like, you know, he sets good screens, yo. Wide base.
Damn, we're gonna have two Chuck Hayes on the team. We're setting cross screens so you can get a post up. We're really running the JV offense for you now, man.
Oh, buddy.
Okay, all right. Taking Twitter questions. First one from Kate. Who I think this might be the Kate that calls into the call-in show. Hopefully it is. And if it is, please confirm so I can follow back. But Kate asks, Fred has started appearing in absolutely lit fits on the sidelines, rivaling even Will Lou fits. Wow, that's a high bar. Fred is also appearing shortly in Serge's new Mafuzi-style YouTube show, premiering tomorrow. Coincidence. Do you like Fred's fits on the sidelines?
Yo, he got an Amex deal, man. He's dressed like an exec.
He really does dress like, you know.
He looks like an agent on the sideline, man. He looks like Kyle's agent half the time when they're talking.
Wow.
legitimately, Fred's just like, Fred's in his business attire because, you know, he's practicing for his day job. Honestly, like, yo, you saw Fred Van Vliet. He's like 5'9". He's like your classic American Express executive, man.
Fred Van Vliet's like showing up at your door being like, you've been approved for a $2,000 credit limit increase. Do you accept? And you're like, I don't know.
$20,000 loan, no questions asked. 40% interest APR.
Yo. Oh, God. Fred the Scammer. I can't wait, man. That's the contract he's going to sign. Yeah, I mean, my favorite fit actually on the sidelines has been Matt Thomas wearing, like, and I don't want you to, like, you can't really make fun of people that make, like, $1 million. Like, I don't make $1 million, nothing close to it. But it is funny to see, relatively speaking, like,
that he's shopping on one hand, from the International Clothiers Boys section.
Yo, I'm telling you, man. Serge Ibaka spending like
99 suits, buy one get two free.
Yo, I'm seriously. He's really like, honestly, at home, I'm expecting him to like draped head to toe in Echo gear. Like honestly,
my favorite thing is just like a V-neck with a blazer on top. It's like, yep, this is business.
That's how I dressed when I had to be professional in the NBA Finals. There's pictures of me doing that black T-shirt and then like a jacket.
Honestly,
off the
I respect
rack
it, man.
From
yo,
H&M.
If this is his only NBA contract, like, yo, you stretch the $4 million and make it your like 10 years worth of salary, man. You got to do it.
No, he's going to go to EuroLeague. You'll be all right. He'll be making Euros. It'll be good.
Yeah, and, worst you know, case scenario,
you
know,
the
Alex
Spanish teams help you not pay.
Man.
That's
Alex
true.
Alex working the phones already.
Honestly, Alex dresses better than Matt Thomas. It's not close, actually.
Oh,
yeah. God. Yeah, so that's my. Matt Thomas is a. All H&M fits is probably my favorite, man. Because he's even down to the pants. Like, he doesn't even like splash for like nice pants. It's just, you know, skinny chinos, H&M, $29. Like, that's what he's rocking to every game. Next one from Jeff. When will Matt Thomas be back? We might need him if Norm is out for a while. So Matt Thomas fractured his finger. And so that's a 4 to 6 week injury, which I know very well because I also had the exact same fracture very recently. You know, I'm still podcasting through the pain, so it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, you know, he got hurt like what on the 23rd of November. So, you know, he should be back very soon. I would say like as early as Christmas. We'll see. I'm sure everyone's going to want to play in that Christmas game. But, yeah, I mean, how much do you actually see Matt Thomas, like, playing if he's back?
Well, if Norm's out for a long, like, extended amount of time, I can see him getting 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay.
Like, that's probably the max of Matt Thomas's role. Because, again, like, his entire role is, like, you're out there, you better be just, like, the most efficient offensive player you can be. Like, he just has to be a weapon, because otherwise there's no point in him being out there, right? So, if he's out there, his usage rate should be, like, 80%.
Well, I'll have to say this. The most shots he's taken is 6.
Yeah, he's...
But also, he did that in 12 minutes, so that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. So that's really what he has to do. Like, as long as... And I think before he got hurt, he was starting to get there where he was just taking shots. And he was taking, like... He was getting there, and he was getting ready to shoot. And that's
off
all
the dribble,
he really used to do.
Leaning.
Yeah. And he's shown that he's pretty good at making the pass, even though he doesn't really create any advantages for himself.
Damn, well, all these sound like disses, even though we're not trying to diss the guy.
Yo, but here's the thing, though. He's your back. Like, if he's a bench player, like, he's perfectly fine as a bench player. Mm. Like, you're not expecting him to be a starter, right? If he can fill in 12 to 15 minutes and be like a. Like, there's no reason for Matt Thomas not to play in a bench lineup with Kyle Lowry because you need. Like, you just need offense off the bench, right?
Yeah.
So, why not?
And you have a surplus of defenders to cover for him.
Exactly. Throw him out there. If he's hot, you let him run for a couple bits. He gets you like 10 points in a hurry. That's all you really need, right?
Yeah. All right. Next one from my guy, Brian Goldfinger. Goldfinger Personal Injury Law. Shout out. Longtime sponsor of the Will Lou product. But he asks, you are Masai. Do you tear it down or stay the course? Super hot take response, please. No diplomatic, wishy-washy answers where you stay neutral. Won't hold you to it. I know you don't have a crystal ball. Hot take, do I stay the course or not? If I'm going to give my very, very hot take, I'm going to say you move Serge. I actually don't think you move Kyle this year. I think you move Kyle in the offseason. And then when you re-sign Fred. But I think you can move Serge for something. But the thing is, with Mark out now, probably a little harder to move Serge. Not going to lie to you. You can't really be playing like Doan Hernandez extended minutes in January, although the schedule is quite light. I think you might actually be able to get away with like Pascal.
We don't play anybody good. We play the Celtics twice, Indiana once, and then like I think the Sixers once and the Bucks once, and that's our schedule till February 1st. We play garbage teams.
Yeah, so it's really light. But yeah, that's my hottest take is that you move Serge right now for what you can get. And then you test the market for Kyle next summer. And I actually think you could probably get a nice return for Kyle next summer, only in the sense that like it's a $31 million expiring contract in a year where everyone wants to get into free agency. Obviously, it's a little tough because I don't think the Raptors want to take back that much money, but it could be something there. So that's my hot take. Yeah. I don't want to trade Kyle this year.
Me personally, I wouldn't trade Kyle or Mark. There's no point. Mark especially because they're both plus contributors and you're a winning team. I wouldn't trade anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You stay the course. Like this team is not like you get a little like this team is like a little bit of luck away from going to the finals. Honestly, if they're healthy, you get one injury, you're in the finals. I'm not terribly like you get one hot streak against like one team and one injury, you're in the finals. Like that's not nothing like just to throw away. You definitely don't tank because. I think it's impossible to tank at this point. You're not going to get out of the playoffs.
Are you kidding me?
Like,
there's no way, man.
Like, they're like
the Raptors already have like 19 or 20 wins. Like, there are teams that will not get the 20 wins this year.
Yeah, because you're going to make the playoffs with 36 wins in the East. So the Raptors are not going to go 16-40 to end the season, regardless of what you do, right?
So no, they'd have to lose every game.
So there's no point. You're not going to get anything of real value. Like, I looked around the trade. Like, I played around with the trade machine, and I couldn't find a single. Like, I couldn't find a single player that I'd want to trade for. Like, do you want to trade Serge Ibaka for Derek Favors? That's not really. No. There's nobody that's really available that's worth trading for. And it's like, screw it. So, like, even if you wanted to get rid of Serge, it's like, are you getting anything that's even, like,
that's the thing.
Are you getting any value this year for it? Like, you get a draft pick, maybe, but no one's giving you a draft pick for Serge.
Especially since you know Serge fits into the current system. He's a good locker room guy. And he's also a guy that raises the ceiling of your team because we've seen it in the playoffs.
Yeah, when he's hot.
Sometimes we'll have like
Serge is 17
points in a game that's
right? Like,
hard.
If Serge is cooking, then like he becomes like a top 10 player.
Yeah.
If he's cooking, and then if he's not playing well, then you just bench him. It's not that hard. And the fact that you actually have him in a place where he's not mad about being benched or not, like.
Yeah, he's cool with it either way.
Exactly. So you're good with it. Yeah. I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't blow anything up. I think with the Kyle Lowry thing, I don't even think there's value in trading him next season. Like, I just don't. Like, I don't know who you would get back on a contract that would make sense for Kyle Lowry. Like,
the contract that makes sense is tough.
That's the thing. I'm like, honestly, I can just totally see Kyle Lowry, like, after letting this deal expire, and either they just part ways or they bring him back for, like, a $5 to $6 million deal for, like, a retirement deal. Or even 10.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Good luck signing Kyle Lowry to a $5 million deal.
Who's signing him at 36 out of $5 million deal? We'll see.
But, you know, honestly, who knows, man? I didn't think he'd get $30 extra million at his current age.
But hey,
so he's clearly hard to negotiate with. But you know, honestly, I mean, I want to give you a hot take. I really do, but I don't think there's that much you want to do with this roster. I think it's a developmental year, and you want to give these guys that you're developing for the future the best chance to succeed this year and beyond.
I just think there's nothing. You know, I'll tell you, my kind of already set up that way, to be honest. I don't care what we pay Fred VanVleet. That's the one thing.
Yeah,
we keep talking about what Fred's contract going to be. I do not care what Fred's contract.
No, not be. We can name names. Who are you talking about?
No,
are you talking about someone with no name?
No name. I don't know. Anyways, my thing is like, I see it consistently on Twitter. It's like, oh, how much are we going to pay Fred VanVleet? Are we going to? Do you really want to sign him? Or is keeping?
I love when people talk about signing Fred VanVleet as if he's going to get shorter in the future. They're like, but bro, in 2 years he's going to be like 5'6". It's like,
what? Fred VanVleet, like, can you name 10 point guards in the league right now better than Fred VanVleet? You literally can't. It's very difficult to get to 10 point guards that are better than Fred VanVleet. It's actually hard. Like, if you don't include James Harden and Luka Doncic, try to get to 10.
Would you take Westbrook over him?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay. Is it a contract thing or just straight up as players?
As players, straight up.
Wow.
I don't think
Westbrook, are you counting Kyle as one of the 10?
I just don't think he adds anything to your team anymore.
Okay.
The guy cannot hit a shot. I think he's done. He's like John Wall.
He's been better of late. He's been better of late.
Ah, man. It's iffy. I think Fred.
Would you take Trae Young over Fred?
That's probably where the breaking point is. Like, you'd probably take Trae over him, maybe.
Like, but right now, Fred is definitely more of a winner.
My thing is, like, yo, way more of a winning player. Who's not going to take Fred VanVleet in a trade. It's not like he's Terry Rozier.
That's true.
Like, yo, if you sign Fred to a $20, $22 million deal a year.
Which is realistically the most that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like a $30 million deal. It's not.
You telling me there isn't like multiple teams out there that'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, cool. We'll trade for Fred VanVleet on that deal. Like, in his prime. Yeah, Fred VanVleet in his prime is worth $22 million a year.
26-year-old Fred VanVleet, who's already averaging like 18-8.
Like, what are
you know, really with the championship experience, can shoot, play defense, unselfish, great locker room guy, you know, like, I was, you know, in practice and shit like that, like, he was teaching, like, Chris Boucher, like, how to draw fouls and stuff. I was like, all right, like, you know, this guy, like, everyone rallies around this guy. Come on, man, stop doubting Fred, man. No more Fred.
Like, slander, Danny Green gets paid 15 a year.
Yeah.
Seth Curry's getting paid 10 a year, right? 10, 12 a year?
Yeah.
Like, this is what the market is for him, and you pay him, and he's tradable. And the biggest thing is, like, yo, people are like, oh, what about Giannis in 2021? First of all, we know Fred
First of all,
we know Fred can play on a championship team. Like, we already know this. And the second thing is, like, he's tradable. Guess what? One of the biggest
things,
Malcolm Brogdon has a player option for the 21-22 season, I believe.
I'm not trading for Malcolm Brogdon, man. Relax. Hey,
no, he's in Indiana.
Malcolm Brogdon's, like, 86 years old already.
He's in Indiana. He says he's not going to re-sign. Indiana's like, all right, we'll trade him. Fred lives where? Rockford? Guess where Rockford is in the middle of? Milwaukee, Indiana, Chicago. You think you can't find a trade to one of those three teams for Fred VanVleet? You think you can't sign and trade for Malcolm Brogdon with Fred VanVleet going back out?
I just think in the Giannis presentation, you show him the highlight clips of Fred VanVleet hitting seven threes. And you're like, you want to play with him? And then Fred's like, yo, I'm right here, man. I'm still on the team. Like, I think it's more of a sell-out Fred on the team. And also, you can manage the cap. You can move Norm if you want to. Although, I would also very much like to show Giannis a highlight pack of Norm Powell from 2017 and be like, you see these bums you've been playing with since time?
And also, people concerned about Fred being like, oh, he's going to get a big paycheck from somewhere else. First of all, Fred VanVleet in Toronto has maximized every single advertising opportunity he's gotten. He's not going to get those same opportunities once he goes stateside. Yeah. Just because
there ain't no shoeless Joes in New York City.
Yeah, dude. Canadian Tire is not going to – there's no Canadian Tire equivalent that's going to be giving him money.
Canadian Tire is not giving him ASMR money.
Amex is not giving him money, man, like if he's stateside.
Yeah, that's true. Shout out to the Amex travel card, by the way. Great, great, great points on that one.
Yo, I got their cash back card, man. I love it.
Wow. All right, free promo there. Wow, yeah. There you go. My guy Nils from Rats Republic asks, if Norm misses significant time along with Fred, is Jamal Crawford a viable option to bring in? I got to ask, bro, who's been asking about Jamal Crawford? Who's been saying
Jamal Crawford's agent?
I don't want to see Jamal Crawford here. I think he's a nice guy, really nice guy. Actually, I was assigned to work on a profile of Jamal Crawford last year.
Yo, if he wants to play in the RR 3-on-3, I will give up my spot.
Definitely, man.
Actually, I'll give up Will's spot. I'm not going to give up my spot.
Yeah, I'm basically a coach at this point anyway,
Will's
man.
Just
I'm
like tournament fee for us.
Honestly, I'm like and I pay for the wherever we go, Dirty Bird.
Oh yeah, the Dirty Bird, and he makes me breakfast in the morning. Will makes great eggs, guys.
I'm telling you, my role on this Raps Republic team is Jamal McGlorin his last year when he was a Raptor, and he was washed, and he was basically a coach. That's my role on the team. But Jamal Crawford. I mean, he's just really old. Like, if it's on a 10-day, sure. But I don't really care who comes in on a 10-day. To be honest,
yeah. Honestly, but, like, would you rather Jamal Crawford or like J.R. Smith? Like,
no, man.
None of these. I don't care about these names. That's the thing.
I'm good.
And the problem is, I don't even care if Fred and Norm are out for a long time. We play too many crap teams. It's not going to matter.
Just play Terrence Davis. Like, what?
Yeah, just play Terrence Davis 30 minutes.
Even Pat McCaw brings more to the table than Jamal Crawford, which I know it sounds like slander, but honestly, McCaw, like, at least he plays defense. And look, man, I would rather the defensive aspect of the team stay intact. Offensively, they might struggle, sure, but like, it's not like Jamal Crawford's going to come in and give you like 20 efficient points.
You know who needs Jamal Crawford? The New York Knicks.
Yeah.
You know who needs Jamal Crawford? Right? The Detroit Pistons, because they got to sell tickets.
Right? Oh, yo.
That Jamal Crawford should go to. Like, we don't need Jamal Crawford. Also, he's not a winning player. Like, we don't need – he's not a plus guy. Send him somewhere else.
I'm good.
We good.
Ari – REPS, please comment on the growing sect of people super thirsty for OG. He's a very intriguing guy. What can I say?
What's the question?
Please comment on the growing sect of people super thirsty for OG.
Like as a basketball player or OG as OG?
Either one, I guess.
Either one? Well, I don't know, man. OG's got a Brandon Bass body. Like, he's built, so.
He's got a Brandon Bass body. Get out of here, bro.
Yo, he's jacked. He's got shoulders on him, and he's got, like, cannons for thighs and calves. Like,
Brandon Bass was the most built guy with the least athleticism. All he did with that, like, huge amount of muscle was shoot mid-range jumpers from Rajon Rondo. It was weird watching him. I don't know.
Honestly, yeah, I
Ochi's just a cool Brandon dude. Bass's whatever, knees he's interesting.
Like they hurt every single time he jumped because I'm like, there's way too much muscle on his body.
Yo, don't slander Zion 1.0 like that.
But yeah, no, I don't know. Well, OG's game per se, like, yo, he's special. Like, he just does special things on the court.
Yeah,
and he makes it look so accidental and easy.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like, oh, he just decided to do it, so he did it. And I'm like, man.
That's cool.
That is
he's
so like,
he's got a whimsical quality about him.
And he's a cool dude. Like, he seems incredibly smart. Like, he just seems very intelligent.
Bro, come on, man. His parents, first off, he's got immigrant parents. And second of all, he's got immigrant parents who were university professors. You're telling me OG wasn't getting straight A's on everything, man?
And isn't he a youngest child or something?
Probably. Yeah. And his older brother played in the NFL. So there's some high expectations for my guy, OG. So. Yeah, he's done quite well for himself. VTech Poppy, shout out. Shout out the Human Tomato. Ask, Ladybug? Why is Macaw... Yo, that Ladybug slander thread is incredible. It's unfortunately, it's been lost because multiple pieces of that conversation are lost. Yeah, what happened to that boy? VTech Poppy says, why is Macaw the new Jody Meeks? When did this become a thing? Why is it a thing? You know what, man? Okay, I get it. Macaw is weird, and like I get annoyed with him too. I'm not above it at all. Like I feel it.
Today.
But I'm like also, ultimately, he's unselfish. He moves the ball. He defends.
You know what he seems like?
He's
generally
doing the right
thing. You know when you're playing like a sport in like high school gym class, and the teacher has to sub in to fill in like a role. That's what Patrick Macaw is because he's never trying to score or do anything. He's just trying to keep the play going.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll let everybody else play. I'm just going to pass the ball. And it's like the defense knows he's not going to do anything. So they just like play defense on him. And it's like, all right, cool.
he's really what Joe Wolfon was for our DP Potson team. Actually, Wolfon might have more scoring potential than Macaw.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. He doesn't upset the apple cart. So for the most part, as long as his offense isn't really hurting the team too much, which, like, usually by the second half, teams are like, all right.
He really is, like, the NBA equivalent of tofu.
What kind of take is that? What do you mean? You got to explain that.
Like, yo, he just doesn't do anything. Like, he fills a spot. Like, he takes up minutes.
What?
He doesn't affect anything.
Yo, don't slander tofu on my podcast, man.
No, he doesn't bring any flavor. He doesn't bring anything. Like,
wow.
Tofu at his core has no flavor.
Wow. Okay, all right, fair. Right? But like,
you got to season it.
Yeah.
But, like, the tofu itself delicious. Is nothing.
Okay, all right. We'll move on from this, man. Uh-huh. This is going to jeopardize our team relationship. REP asks the second question. Can you walk us through what it's like as media at a game or Raptors practice? What do you do while you're there? Where do you go? I mean, where do I go is pretty straightforward. I go to the Scotiabank Arena where they play basketball or the OVO practice facility where they practice basketball. What do I do there? I mean, honestly, there's a lot of waiting around. There's a lot of observing. It depends on what you're trying to work on. If you're trying to work on features or profiles and stuff like that, you try to talk to the players. A lot of times you talk to them at practice, you talk to the PR people, the team there, and you let them know, hey, I want to talk to this and this. They'll say, sure. They'll corral them and you got like 5 minutes and you talk to them, whatever. Or if you're like me and you just observe and give takes on the team and stuff like that, then, you know, you just try to collect as much observations as possible. There's scrums happening. You go to the scrums, sometimes you get a question and sometimes you don't. Chances are pretty good that the veteran reporters are going to ask like 8 questions. So you really have like one chance to ask a real question if you really want to do it. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just honestly a lot of waiting around, you know, holding a microphone. It's not that glamorous. I'm not going to lie to you. And sometimes you walk through the hallway with Alex and Derrick Rose comes through and says knee how to you randomly. So
what?
That really happened. The first game. The first Pistons game in Toronto. We were like, for some reason, right outside the Pistons locker room. Which, actually, it's fun being in the locker room because you can walk in and there's a giant TV in the corner. And they're playing
like... walk by you and unprompted, which is like, ni hao.
And yeah, that's it. For real.
Wow.
For real.
Oh, that's my it. God. Yo.
I said in the reaction podcast that Derrick Rose got like 350 on his SAT, but like for real, like it's on that level.
Yo, my favorite tweet I saw someone posted again today. It was like that image of like Derrick Rose when he's in like the, like when he hits that buzzer beater and he's in the crowd. It's like the still image of him like kind of like shocked or whatever, the weird face, and the caption's just like when the crowd's chanting MVP and you're trying to figure out what that spells.
Oh man, oh boy. Anyway, yeah, that's what happens at Raptors games. All right, we've gone a long time, so we're going to really speed through the rest of these questions. There's so many. If we don't get to it, I apologize. Scoops Troop asks, do you see Fred taking over as our next starting point guard? If so, what aspects of his game do you think he needs to tweak or work on to hit that status? I do see him as the next starting point guard, and I don't actually think he needs to change too much about his current game. It's really just about decision-making and then paring down what he currently does into being more efficient and making better decisions. He's already a pretty good decision maker, but
yeah, it'd be nice for him to get like a mid-range game, like some sort of like
like a floater.
Yeah, because right now it's either just at the rim or at the three. And then the only other thing is just like, you know, get even better at drawing fouls. I think his finishing has improved this season, but as long as that gets any better, I think his game has basically gotten to where his floor is a starting point guard now. Yeah, so it's all fine.
Emoji says, why do people want to trade Kyle? Man's playing elite level basketball. It's like, yeah, of course. I don't know. People just want to trade Kyle because I've already said this. It's like a love-hate thing, man. You know, it's just you're married with somebody. You're there. You go through the ups and downs. You're like, oh, man, can't wait to break up with you. And then you don't actually do it. You're just there. Maybe I'm just speaking more problematic relationships than my grandparents had. But like,
honestly, you know, people are just jealous.
People are just bigger. That's it. They just bicker, but it is what it is.
People are just jealous. Honestly, it's just because he's got a giant giant posterior. And I had to figure out the word. And honestly, the thing is, like, when he misses shots, it just looks really bad. Like, Kyle Lowry's body type just makes it look like he's really bad when he's not playing well, which is why he's easy to slander, but
that's true.
He's just a goddamn good player, so.
He's really the most important player in Raptors history.
Yeah.
Also, there was that tweet that was flying around after the finals was, Kyle Lowry got a fat booty and a ring, and a lot of y'all can't say that. That's an incredible tweet, man. That's really good. DME asks, can this become a slander pod? Praying for Powell and Serge. Honestly, we didn't. I mean, we slander a little bit, but you know, you have real basketball takes to give. So
yeah.
So far, John says, is there any information in the ether on DeJuan? Is he not playing D League practice or something? I don't know. I mean, I think he's just at the 59th pick and he's in the G League right now honing his skills. There's nothing really to report on that.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. The little bit I've seen of him is he's just not, like, I think he just lacks a little bit on the speed side. He lacks a lot on the strength side. So it's just like, once he gets strong enough to be a big, then like his game actually matters. Right now it's like, you can have nice touch, you can have all these things, but if you're not strong enough as a big, you're just not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
So.
Joe's asks, thoughts on the Dirty Pistons injuring Powell with like a minute left. That's not what happened.
Yeah.
I don't think they were trying to injure Powell. It's a legal play. As we detailed, it's a little dangerous of a play, but it's within the rules. And I don't think Blake Griffin was like, let me just injure Norm Powell right here.
And honestly, all Norm had to do was just not play defense like he usually does. And he'd be fine.
Yo, relax. Relax, man.
No, hopefully Norm, he's fine, man. I'm hoping.
Our thoughts are with you, Norman Powell, and your shoulder. Oh man, there's so many questions.
Go through them.
Pink Lover 27, is Nick Nurse McCaw's agent? But seriously, what is McCaw's appeal that he's getting so much playing time over Davis or Rondo?
I've got my theory is it's part of Nick Nurse's McDonald's contract. It's entirely just has to do with his name as being Mick Caw.
Wow. Okay. That's a pretty good theory. Let's run with that one. A-Man asks, do the Raptors trade for Holiday or Redick? I'm kind of good on more point guards, to be honest. I'm not trying to give up a future asset so I can have a third point guard that I can't really play to get. Like, you're not maximizing Holiday's value if you're playing him with Lowry and VanVleet. And if you're trading with Lowry or VanVleet for one of the guys, then, like, what are you doing?
So, yeah, you're adding years and salary for no reason, so it's like...
Redick, I don't mind as much. Like, I think he would be a contributor, but just you also...
personally.
I'm not trying to hear him say Nihao or something worse to me in the locker room, so I'm good on that one. But, I mean, yeah, as a player, sure. I mean, we'll see what the price is. Honestly, I don't want to see the Raptors give up too much for a marginal addition. It doesn't make any sense to me. Colangelo's Caller, great name. How do you think Nick will fill the minutes left by Mark? Is it simply more minutes for Boucher / go smaller more often? Any chance DeJuan Hernandez gets a look? I think DeJuan probably gets a chance to play garbage time, but I think Boucher gets his minutes bumped again,
right? The same way when Serge is out. You're just kind of like on defensively, you might be a little bit weak.
Yeah, and you have Rondé out there too.
Yeah.
Rondé helps a little bit as well.
So Rondé has a normal role again, so let's see what he can do with it. I kind of hope he stops dribbling the ball as much. I do not his one-on-one attacks. I don't know why that started, but...
I know. I'm sure Nick Nurse was like, bro, can you just chill? Like, what's going on with you, man? He benched him. He straight up benched him after he took 2 threes against the Nets. He's like, no, you're not playing again, man.
Yeah, but that's my Muslim brother, so we ain't going. We're going to slap Rondé.
There you go. There you go. Munib asks, with Powell and Gasol out and possibly Fred out for the next bit, is this group of players able to replicate what the Raptors did when Ibaka and Lowry went down? You know.
Yeah, they have a garbage schedule coming up. They're kind of
their schedule coming up is fine. Trash. And also I think Fred's coming back like next game. Yeah. So we all right. Dylan asks, with Gasol out, we already asked this question. Should the Raptors trade for Jrue Holiday? Are the Pistons coaches simply trying to avoid getting blood clots by standing / walking around so damn much? I was like, where is this going? That's great. That was from Andy. Are the Detroit Pistons coaches simply trying to avoid getting blood clots?
Honestly, that goes to the thing. They just don't have enough bodies in their arena, so it's really cold. Yeah. They're just trying to stay warm, dog.
Yeah, also, you know, Dwayne Casey is the best defender on that team at age 60. He's like, yo, just do what I'm doing. And Andre Drummond's like, nah, I'm good. Lace Sports says, did you see Ibaka's documentary, Anything Is Possible? How much did it make you love the fact that A, Ibaka plays for the Raptors, and B, Ibaka won his first championship with the Toronto Raptors? I have not seen it yet. I will see it. Honestly, Ibaka's story is just incredible all around. And I'm sure, I think the documentary is about this past year where he took the trophy back home to Congo, to Brazzaville, and he went to the restaurant that he used to beg for food at outside of. And Ibaka's whole story is insane, man. Like, just think about where he came from in terms of the circumstances. It was a civil war was going on. I'm pretty sure, well, I don't want to speculate on this, but, you know, he was separated from his parents due to political issues and also health issues. He had to, like, fend for himself on the streets, and he had to, like, literally beg for money and stuff like that and beg for food. And somehow he goes from that to playing overseas and then coming to the NBA, being a prominent player, going through heartbreak, getting traded multiple times, and then becoming a champion and playing a big role in them becoming a champion. Like, come on, man. And now he's like one of the most stylish players in the NBA, if not the most stylish, and making all these videos and like a better YouTuber than most YouTubers out there. Like,
yeah, and honestly, all these years you've heard like all these NBA players also like just call him like, oh, he's a fake tough guy and all this other nonsense. They always go at him. This guy and it's just like, man, shut up.
In
like,
the middle of a
Matt
civil
Barnes
war.
And who the hell is Kendrick Perkins, man? Honestly?
Yeah.
Sit down, yo. Serge, a real one.
Yeah. A real and one. He choked out Marquise Chris that one time. It was great.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this is it, man. We've gone long enough. Thanks to everyone for sending in their questions. I appreciate it a lot. And I'll hopefully answer some of them on Twitter after this. But Asad, you got to go to sleep. You got to go to work tomorrow. I also have to go to work tomorrow, although, you know, it's not as pressing. The Raptors don't want to practice, so I might be chilling. But
yeah.
Asad, thanks for coming on the podcast. Follow Asad on Twitter, at SwarLasers. Anything else to plug?
No, man, that's all right now. That's all right now. I guess I'm a volunteer, yeah, with sports.
Wow. It was good intentions. It really was. It is pretty funny when you see it. especially when you know them personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, all right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to KFC for sponsoring the podcast. And I'll be back next week with another Raptors podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.